Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2014. This podcast will continue our discussion of Ukraine and now Crimea, and we'll try to discern what is really happening there. Some things have become clear in this struggle. Russia had forces in Crimea before this struggle began, a long time before this struggle began. The port of Sevastopol, capital of Crimea, is headquarters to the Russian Black Sea Fleet, which is responsible for Russian maritime operations throughout the Black Sea and the Mediterranean. The Russian fleet stationed there has 380 ships, 170 aircraft, and 25,000 troops. Russia views Crimea as an indispensable strategic asset and would never voluntarily relinquish it. To that end, Russia sent approximately 2,000 additional troops along with support units to serve as a rapid response force in case the Ukrainian military tried to move south into Crimea. The ethnic Russian government in Crimea supposedly asked Mr. Putin for help, and he went to the Russian Duma or the Russian parliament for permission to use force, a rubber stamp act for sure. Since then, additional Russian troops have poured in to Crimea. There is a referendum on Crimean independence set for March 3rd. The Russian government has now ordered Ukrainian troops to leave Crimea. They've ordered them to leave what they consider to be their own country. Leave Crimea or be destroyed, they were told. Russia will do whatever it deems necessary to keep Crimea. This is very similar to what happened to another member of the former Soviet Union in 2008. NATO and the European Union had designs on Georgia, a small country bordering Russia, and a former member of the Soviet Union. The West fomented revolutionary protests in that country in an effort to create regime change and thus tilt the country to the West. The protesters believed the West, and that if they tilted the government in their direction, the West would come to their aid if Russia didn't like it. Well, Russia didn't like it. They were willing to tolerate an independent Georgia controlled by their proxy government, but they would not tolerate a Georgia in NATO and run by Mr. Saakashvili, a Columbia-educated Westerner. They would not tolerate that. After the Russians invaded, Mr. Saakashvili found that the West was unwilling to do more than talk and offer a feeble protest. Western nations told the Ukrainians and the world in a letter known as the Budapest Memorandum and signed in 1994 by the United States, England, France, and Canada that they would guarantee Ukrainian independence. So here in Ukraine, Russia controls Ukraine through a proxy government. The West was not content with that, however, and set about trying to lure Ukraine into Western influence through trade and other commercial agreements, with the ultimate goal of having Ukraine in NATO and perhaps the European Union. When that didn't work, they fomented a revolutionary protest movement which overthrew the elected but Russian-leaning government. Russia was not willing to tolerate losing Crimea, so it invaded and occupied that portion of Ukraine. Mr. Putin saw the West maneuvering as an opportunity to retake the Crimea, which has traditionally been Russian for centuries, and that the West handed back to him on a silver platter. After all that, Mr. Obama, now very embarrassed and upset because, again, he has been outmaneuvered by Vladimir Putin, and there is nothing he can do about it. So he announces that the G8 summit scheduled for Sochi, Russia, site of the Winter Olympics to be held there this summer, will not be held. Ultimately, he said, Russia might be removed from the G8. So here's the dilemma that Mr. Obama has presented to Mr. Putin. You've got two choices now, Vladimir. You can give up the Crimea, which would cost you your Black Sea Fleet, the most powerful fleet in the Russian Navy, cost you access to the Mediterranean, and probably cost you your base in Syria, the only base you currently have outside the old Soviet Union. Or if you don't do that, we won't hold our meeting in your country, and you might not get to be in our club anymore. Not a very tough choice for Mr. Putin, I think. The worst thing about this incident is that it has exposed the weakness of the West and all of its vulnerabilities. All the Western democracies have abandoned defense in favor of their gigantic welfare, banker, financial, corporate states, depending entirely on the United States for defense. The United States, exhausted after almost 25 years of war and led by Barack Obama, can do nothing but send John Kerry to Kiev. Mr. Putin obviously sees Obama for what he is, but Obama, unfortunately, does not see Mr. Putin for what he is. So what now? This is my prediction. This is my prediction for what will happen. NATO meets an emergency session, and John Kerry goes to Kiev. Obama releases photos showing him in very tough poses talking to Mr. Putin by phone. An announcement is made that the Budapest Memorandum is still intact because Crimea, you see, is not really historically part of Ukraine, so the agreement has not been violated. Russia keeps Crimea and restrains itself in the rest of Ukraine, at least for now. That's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.